Good morning and happy Sabbath, Upper Columbia Academy, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Are we happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Man, I have been sitting here this Sabbath morning getting a sermon from these young men and women. And I'm so excited because what I witnessed last night in this church was nothing short of a miracle. As I stood here at the end of a week of prayer, giving the first week of prayer that I've ever given in my life, wondering whether or not God would make me brave enough to deliver the messages that he'd put on my heart, and whether or not the Holy Spirit would move on these young men and women's hearts to respond to that message. You know, a lot of my friends in college told me, don't give appeals anymore, it doesn't work. The young people are leaving our church. They don't care about God, just give up. But I've stayed committed the entire way, knowing that with my efforts, yes, I would fail. I wouldn't reach people's hearts. And yes, we would continue to see the negativity that the enemy is using a lot of us to say about our church continue to spread. But I stand before you today to tell you that when we believe God's word rather than the negativity that's being spread by the enemy about our church, about his church, about the church that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, started by coming here and dying on Calvary's tree and giving us all, every heartbeat that we ever have and every breath that we ever breathe. I stood in this church and I saw a generation of young men and women that I know will finish the work. I saw a generation of young men and women that will be used by God to do greater and more miraculous signs and wonders in this, the world's darkest moment, than we have ever seen happen on earth before. And why do I know it? Don't take my word for it. Believe what it says right here in the Bible. I know that I can stand here and proclaim it because I know that, you know what? The statistics that Barna puts out about the church aren't true. And I'll tell you why. Because God's word says that at the end of time, when everything looks dark, when all of the world is falling apart, when we see earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars, when we feel discouraged, when it looks like we're in the deepest, darkest valley of our life, like it says in Psalms 23:4, that he will be with us in that valley, that his rod and staff will comfort us, and that he will bust all of those statistics when he raises up a generation of young men and women to finish his work of proclaiming God's character of love to the ends of this world in the face of all that's happening. But you know what? The thing that gets me really excited is that as I look at the signs that God says in his word will happen at the end of time, the final sign says that the hearts of men and women will grow cold. Now, why would that get me excited? Well, the reason I'm excited about that is because during this time when we see the hearts of men and women in this world growing colder than ever before, God promises that he will use a generation of young people, that he will rise them up, that old men will dream dreams and see visions, and that he will make us able to soar on wings of eagles to finish his work. He says, in the face of all the darkness, I will have a select group of people on this planet who have chosen, as my Holy Spirit withdraws from the earth, to let my Holy Spirit live in them. And because of that, even though the world will be dark, my people will shine with my character of love so brightly that even in the earth's final moments, people will give their hearts to Jesus and they will be with us as sons and daughters in all of eternity. Now, the beginning of the sermon, the part that I just spoke to you, is not something written on a page. It's something written on my heart. And why? Because the God of the universe that moved in these young people last night is living in me too. And he wants to reign on the throne of your heart. He wants to put you in the right place at the right time, saying his words, not yours. He wants to make you small and stand up in you like a giant. And he wants to show his character of love to the entire world. Friends of UCA Church, do you want to be the giants in the end of time that will show God's love to this world like lighthouses shining his light into the darkest part of our world's night? Is that your prayer for your life? Last night, as I gave an appeal, even though I'd have many people tell me the young people are leaving this church, they're not excited about God, they don't care, I saw almost every single student in this entire church, and even the members in this community, get out of their seats and come walking to the front. 250-plus people sitting in this sanctuary came right down here to the front. And they were making decisions, one, for baptism, two, for Bible studies, and three, those who have been baptized and have already had Bible studies were making a decision to rededicate their lives to God and let Him make them brave. Friends, last night, I didn't see statistics on a sheet of paper that Barna puts out. I saw God's word being fulfilled right here in this church. And that's the word that I'm going to proclaim until the end of time. I'm sorry, I don't have time to read books about statistics or to spread negativity about how our church is dying or that our young people don't love Jesus. Do you know what I experience everywhere I go from here to Israel and back again when I spend time with young people? I experience young people who know who Jesus really is. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. And He came to teach us how to be loved by God and to love others. I see a generation of young people who understand God's heart so well that even though we may not understand how they're reacting to our message or our church, I know that they will be the ones to finish the work. That's something that I'm absolutely confident of, and I praise God that He lets me be just a small part of starting the fire that started in this church last night. Now I'll try to spend the last 5 minutes of my sermon actually giving you the sermon. When I was a little boy, only 8 years old, my mother would always tell me, "Son, you have a Joseph anointing on your life." I would watch my dad as he would preach sermons, he would sit around campfires, he would go to camp meetings, he would play songs. I saw the looks in people's faces. When my dad would preach, I saw hope in their eyes. And even though at 8 years old, I understood the world was a broken place, I wanted to have that same hope, and I wanted to share it with others. As I talked with the students at UCA this week, and I'll give you the short version of the story, as I talked with them this week, I shared with them about how my parents' marriage started struggling. And for 5 years, I prayed for God to help my parents stay together. But alas, Satan, through all of his tacks, finally caused my family to get divorced. Satan then tried to place the blame for what had happened on God and caused me to lose faith in Him, that He actually knew about me, cared about me, or loved me. This week at UCA, I talked to all of your young people, your young men and women who I believe are going to carry the torch of this gospel to the rest of the world about being brave enough to believe. In Psalms 23:4, it says that even in our darkest valleys, that Jesus is with us. You know what? When I was a little boy, I remember my mom sitting on the couch crying because we didn't have enough food in the cupboards. I remember at 12 years old having the faith to say, "Mom, God has always provided for us. Can I pray with you?" On day one of our week of prayer, I gave all of your students pray it forward pins. And I said, when your friends come to you with problems, ask them to pray right then and there. Don't let the enemy keep you busy and just come up to them and be like, "Oh, okay, I'll pray for you," and walk off. But stop right there in that moment. Take their hands and say, "Let's take this to someone who can do something about your problems." You know what the most disturbing thing about being a pastor is? It's realizing that when young people come to me and tell me about the things happening in their life, that I can't do anything about it. You know what the greatest thing about my life is? When I get to say, "I know somebody who's my best friend who can, and I want to pray for you, and I want to teach you to pray it forward," because if we'll do that, then all of the angels that are at Christ's right hand in heaven will be commissioned on our behalf, and they will do miracles. Do you know what happened all of these years ago when I sat next to my mom holding her hands and praying and asking her to trust God? The minute I said amen, a knock came on the door, and 5 boxes of food were marched into that house. Friends, when we cry out to God, He answers. He comes running. He can't wait to answer our prayers. But the devil has been deceiving us into spreading negativity rather than praying for the miracles that God wants to do, that He's promised us in our word. Friends, instead of reading bad reports about our church, start reading God's word and start spreading what it says. Because if you do, we will see a revival and we'll go home in this generation. How many of you here today want to spend 40 more years in the wilderness? Not me. Well, let me tell you something that I learned about your young people this week. They're not planning on spending 40 more years congregating and playing church. They're planning on being His hands and feet and praying it forward and changing the world for Jesus. I know that these kids are brave enough to believe, and I'm very excited about that. We also talked about being brave enough to wait. Being brave enough to wait on God for what college, university he wants you to go to, for what career he wants you to do, for what mission trip he wants you to go on. You know what? I even have to be brave enough to wait on God when I wake up in the morning to tie my shoes. Friends, we should give everything we do to God, and I'll tell you why. Because every breath you breathe, every action you take is sustained by him. He's the one that spoke all of life into creation, and he's the one by the power of his word that sustains all of it. We also talked about a very serious subject. That very serious subject is this. In your life, don't get into physical relationships with anyone of the opposite sex until you're married. Why? Because God loves you enough to make a covenant with you that even while you're still a sinner, that he's going to love you from now until eternity. Marriage is something beautiful because when we do it God's way, when we enter into that covenant God's way, we're entering into a covenant in a safe environment where we know that a person has not only pledged to love us physically, but has pledged to love our soul no matter what they find. Friends, God loves you when he comes into your life and you ask him to come into your life, and he loves you no matter what. He never leaves. So don't get into relationships with people in this world that won't let God, through them, love you just as much as he does. Why would you settle for less love through a human being when God is all you need? Friends, be brave enough to wait on the Lord for everything in your life, because then you will be able to run without growing weary, you will soar on wings like eagles, and you will complete the mission that God has for you in this world and in eternity. And you know what, friends? There isn't anything that we could do in 100 years of our life, in 100 blinks of our eyes, that would be worth giving up all of the things that no eye has seen nor ear heard in all of eternity. And I can't wait for that to begin. And guess what? This week, we learned when we're brave enough to wait on the Lord that eternity, when we believe in him, starts right now. Friends, make the decision today to enter into his kingdom instead of living in this kingdom, and then we won't have to talk about the negative report anymore, because Jesus is the only thing worth talking about, and he's the only thing that we'll see. We talked about being brave enough to live. When I was 19 years old, I attempted suicide. My sister found me. She dressed my wounds, she hugged me, and she cried, and she said, "Stephen, why would you ever do something so selfish as to leave me alone in this world?" In that moment, I didn't know if my life was worth anything or if God even existed, but I knew that one person needed me and loved me. Friends, do we know today that Jesus loves us? Do we really know that? Do we receive that love? You know, in that moment, when I had the darkest spot in my life and I attempted suicide, I realized that in this life, it's really, really hard to live, isn't it? How many of you here today can attest to that? I also realized that through leaving God, I had been living to die. But now that I've given my life back to God, I now have the opportunity to lay down my life of selfishness. I get the opportunity to lay down my drugs, my alcohol, and all of the worldly influences that I was trying to use to fill the God-sized hole in my heart, and let Jesus, the only one who can fill that hole, come in. And now instead of living my life to die, I've died to self, and I'm now letting Jesus live through me, and I am dying to live. Friends, do we want to be brave enough to live? Do we want to be brave enough to live a life worth living? A life more abundant than anything that we could ever have in this world? Make that decision today to be brave enough to live. We also talked about being brave enough to cry. When I was a boy, I was taught not to cry. I was taught that men were not men unless they cried. And so when I ran into the problems in my life, I felt like I needed to be a really big man and take them on my shoulders and do it all myself. Well, this week, we learned that, you know what? Really being brave means being brave enough to cry out to God, because God is the only one who can actually do anything about your problems. Ladies, men of UCA, never forget that when we're brave enough to cry out to the Lord, that he will come into our lives and he will give us the courage to walk through any dark valley, and he will even give us the ability to make a difference in that valley by making us his hands and feet. Let's be brave enough to cry, UCA. Can I get an amen to that? Friends, we talked about being brave enough to be forgiven. You know what? I used to go out there trying to please God, a lot like Peter, without ever letting God love me. I wanted to love God and to do everything to please him so that I could earn his love. But you know what? When I looked at the story of Peter this week with all of the students here at UCA,
we saw a Peter who had denied Jesus three times standing on a beach wondering why he couldn't catch any fish. And when Jesus showed up, instead of rebuking him for not fulfilling the Great Commission, he told him to get in his boat and go back out to the ocean to catch the fish again. He told them to throw the net out on the other side of the boat. And guess what? After they had caught the fish, Jesus cooked them breakfast on the shore. You know, the last time that I messed up my life and I went out drinking and gambling and everything else, I had to come home to my grandparents to admit what I had done. I felt absolutely mortified that once again, I had taken my eyes off of Jesus and I had fallen down like Peter did so many times. Once again, I had denied Jesus. But you know what was awesome? They immediately forgave me, loved me unconditionally, and when I woke up the next morning, I could smell breakfast being cooked in the kitchen. And at that moment, I knew my grandparents had forgiven me. You know what, friends? God calls us to love him and to love others. But if we won't ever let God love us in our sinful condition, we'll never be changed and we'll never be able to love anyone else. Friends, allow God to cook you breakfast this morning. Allow him to love you so that you can be forgiven and then be a person who can forgive others. Do you know why we struggle so much as Christians to forgive people? It's because we're not letting God forgive us. And it's the reason why we feel so negative and judgmental towards all of the people around us. Friends, he who has been loved much also loveth much. So let's be brave enough to be forgiven, let God love us, and become people that will go out there and spread the message of Jesus' love and forgiveness to the world today. Can I get an amen for that, UCA? Students of UCA, are you brave enough to be forgiven? Are you brave enough to share that love and forgiveness with the world? Amen. I also talked about being brave enough to be a hero. You know, I used to think that a hero was somebody who could do everything in their life and even take the weight of all of the problems of the people around them on their shoulders by themselves. But you know what I've learned as a result of giving my life to Jesus? I've learned that a true hero is someone who's willing to lay down their life for their friends. You know what? When I was homeless, my brother took me in off the streets, and my little nephew loved me. Even though I smelled like cigarettes, I was an alcoholic, he always came running to me when I came home, and he said, "Uncle Stephen, you're my hero." It was him telling me that I was a hero that made me want to be the hero that God created me to be. You know what, church? If we could start looking at our young men and women, and instead of telling them that they're leaving the church and they're a disappointment, instead look at them and tell them that they're sons and daughters of God, then they would be able to start believing that God created them and that he will not stop at anything to make them sons and daughters of God again, even if they're living in sin. You know what it says in God's word? It says that no power in all of creation can separate us from God's love. You know what? Friends and family in this community, support these young people and keep proclaiming them to them that they are sons and daughters of God already, that they don't have to get good enough, and that's going to be the thing that helps them to see who they truly are in Jesus and make them brave enough to be the heroes that our end time needs. I talked about being brave enough to follow. You know, in my life, I knew this girl. Her name is Maddie. A few years ago, while I was in college, she was hit on her bike while she was going home, and she passed away. You know what? For 2 years, I went to college with that girl. She knew my name. She always smiled at me, and she always talked to me. But I was embarrassed because I didn't know her name, so I never told her. When this tragedy happened on the campus and she passed away, my best friend, Timothy Oliver, was best friends with her, and I sat in the chapel until the middle of the night holding him while we cried together. But you know what I learned through watching Maddie's life and seeing all of the people's lives that she led to Jesus? That when we're brave enough to follow Jesus, we learn what it truly means to be a leader. You know, I used to think that being a leader meant that if I looked over my shoulder, I would see a bunch of people following me. But now I know that being a true leader in this world means leading people to Jesus and keeping your eyes so firmly fixed on him that you never look behind you to see if anyone's following you. Friends, we don't have to be authoritarian in our church. We don't have to force people to have our views, and we don't have to try to get people to follow after us. If we're truly following Jesus, fixing our eyes on him, and doing what he is calling us to do in our lives, we won't have to worry if anyone's following, because if he is lifted up, then no one will be able to stop all of your sons and daughters and all of the men and women in this world fall away from him, from coming to him, because he is the only thing in this world worth following. Friends, today I want to share a scripture with you. It's my appeal to all of you UCA students and to the members of this church and community. Today, I want to talk to you about being brave enough to run the race. Now, I know all of you students have heard this story, but I'm just going to give the short version of the story. 9 months ago, I was in a really bad car accident, and I am a half marathon runner at that time, and my doctor told me that I would never run again. But instead of believing his bad report, I trusted God, I went through physical therapy, chiropractic work, I did all the massage therapy, I ran through praying, and every time I felt like I couldn't run anymore and there was too much pain in my body, I would look up at the sky and I would imagine that it was opening and Jesus was coming. I created a hashtag called Running Man, Running for Jesus, and I began telling everybody, I'm going to run the Portland Marathon, and I'm going to do it because Jesus is going to run through me. Just a week ago on Sunday, I ran the Portland Marathon in 3 hours and 16 minutes, telling people about Jesus the whole way. But do you know what's really awesome? When I finished, all the people at the finish line said, wow, this is your first marathon. You were in a car accident, and you ran in 3 hours and 16 minutes. And then one man in the crowd said, yeah, John 3:16. Get it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what, friends? If the enemy's bringing you a bad report about your church and trying to convince you that we're failing, maybe you need to quit reading the bad report that the enemy's handed you, and you need to start reading God's report. Because if you will, it will rise us up on wings like eagles, and we'll be brave enough to run again. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I want to leave you with this commission. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every controversy. Let us lay aside everything that we're carrying with us that God has not called us to carry. Let us lay aside the sin in our life which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that Jesus has set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. UCA, today I want to tell you something about this verse. You see that word joy? That's you. The joy that was set before Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying was you. It was the thing that helped him carry his cross all the way to that hill where they nailed him to it. And it was the thing that helped him to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he looked at you, he didn't see sinners. He saw his treasure. You know what I've learned about God that's helped me to be brave enough to run the race, UCA? The thing that I've learned about God is that he really did love me so much that he sent his son into the world. He sent him to die for me so that I could live. And not just when I get to heaven, but so that I could run the race right now with endurance, holding my head high and proclaiming who my king is. And my king is Jesus, and he's your king too. And you're the joy that was set before him that caused him to endure the cross. You're the joy that was set before him that caused him to go back to his Father in heaven and sit at the right hand of God, praying for each and every single one of you day and night until he finally sees your face. You're the joy that he sits there praying and sending his Holy Spirit on our behalf for. You're the joy when we receive that Holy Spirit that gets to be entering into his joy, to share that joy of Jesus Christ with others. And when you do, friends, we become reborn. And when we become reborn, it doesn't matter what the enemy says in our world. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report is in this world. If you believe on him, he can heal you, restore you, make you brand new, and help you to walk in this life with head held high, proclaiming his gospel until at last we see his face. And I don't know about you, but that's something that's worth getting excited about. But you know what's worth even more worth getting excited about? The fact that I know that all of the young people at this university and they're like university students, this academy, all of the young people that I've spent time with this week that stood with me here last night in this church, I know are going to run the race with me. You know, I've had people asking me this question this week. Stephen, if Jesus is going to save everyone, even people who aren't Adventists, then why be one? Well, I'm going to tell you why I'm one. When I was a 12-year-old boy and I came walking into one of our churches, I had skinned knees, my parents had got divorced, my dad had been kicked out of the church, I felt like I had no one in the world, I was drug addicted, I was all alone, and I had no one. And there was a woman standing in the doorway that saw me in my bad condition with my poor clothes because my mother was poor, that told me, no, you can't come into this church dressed like that. Do you know why I'm staying in this church? I'll tell you why. I'm staying because God has called me to come into this church to be one of his preachers at the end of time, like it says in the book of Jude, who will proclaim the gospel as it was once delivered to the saints. He's called me to be the door greeter at this church, at every church I ever go to, that will never turn anyone away. Whether they smell like cigarette smoke, whether their clothes are nice or not, whether they fit in our community, whether they have the same opinions on me, on the things that we argue about in our church or not, I will be the door greeter who will stand in that door and say, yes, this is a house of prayer for all nations. And that's why, young people of UCA, I'm staying in this church. I'm staying for you. And I will be here even if you leave to welcome you when you come back. I want to be the older brother who will invite you in instead of standing outside pouting because God let them back in even after they rebelled and they didn't do things my way. I want to be the older brother who will sit at the table with you and say, this feast is for me and for you too. Because when we give our lives to God, we all have an equal inheritance. And you know what's beautiful about that? We don't have to fight over other people's inheritance anymore. Isn't that beautiful? In closing, UCA, I want to give you an opportunity one last time to read together with me the scripture that we have been proclaiming this week. UCA, this week we've learned that God can make us brave enough to believe, brave enough to wait, brave enough to live, brave enough to cry, brave enough to be forgiven, brave enough to be a hero even in this world's dark time, brave enough to follow Jesus even if no one else is coming with us. And we've even learned that we all together, young people and old people alike in this community, can join together. You know what, community? I want to ask you to be the cloud of witnesses for these kids that will cheer them on running this race to the finish line instead of being people who will proclaim the enemy's report that they're leaving. Because guess what? What I've witnessed this week is they're not. They have Jesus in their heart. And friends, you're going to have a really hard time keeping up with them because they're going to be running this race really fast. So you better start working out. All right. Let's read it together. Are you ready, UCA? Read it loud with me. Woo! Hey, does he make us brave? All right. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. UCA, last night, there were many of you who made the decision to get baptized. And as we get ready to sing our closing song, I would like to ask all of you who have made the decision to be baptized and be brave for God to stand now. UCA, many of you made decisions for Bible studies. And others of you made decisions that you want to recommit your life to Jesus. Students of UCA, will you stand with me now and say, yes, if I have made the decision to be baptized, I want to follow Jesus and let him make me brave. If I've made the decision to have Bible studies this week, I'm going to follow through with that and get connected with one of the chaplains or pastors here on this campus because he makes me brave. And if I want to recommit my life to Jesus, that's just as beautiful as those of you who have made the decision for baptism. Because you know what? Getting dunked in a tank full of water is only the beginning of what God wants to do in your life. Because when you come out of that water, he wants to fill you with his spirit and help you to run the race with him for the rest of your life. Being recommitted to Jesus is just as important as making the decision for Bible studies, and it's just as important as getting baptized, and let me tell you why. Because when you recommit to Jesus, then you get to be brave enough to be his hands and feet to encourage all of the young people around you who are still trying to make that decision. Young people at UCA, will you stand with me today? Will you stand with me as we sing our closing song? This is the theme song that we've been singing all week.
I found a new life. It was found in Jesus Christ. He took all my pain, renewed all my strength, and gave me new life again. So God, what should I do? Can I make strides for you? I'm ready to go from the safety I've known, but I cannot do this alone.
All right, sing it out.
I want to be dangerous. I want to be strong. Lord, help me know that you carry me on. Cover my weakness. Open my view. I want to be dangerous for you. So this is what I want to do. I live my life for you. The times that I try, I can't get it right. Now help me to trust that you're good. I want to be dangerous. I want to be strong. Lord, help me know that you carry me on. Cover my weakness and open my view. I want to be dangerous for you.
So dwell inside, let your spirit abide. I want to be brave. I want to be brave. God dwell.
I want to be dangerous, I want to be strong. Lord, help me know that you carry me on. Cover my weakness, open my view. I want to be dangerous for you.
I want to
be dangerous, I want to be strong. Lord, help me know that you carry me on. Cover my weakness, open my view. I want to be dangerous only for you. Want to be dangerous only for you.
God, make me dangerous only for you.
And this is our prayer.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you see the hearts of every person here, young and old, staff, faculty, students, community members that have been here all week supporting our kids, and yes, all of the young kids that are here from our school right down the road. God, you see every heart. Lord, you know about the decisions that have been made. You know about even the hearts that are on the verge of making those decisions, but something's holding them back. God, I'm not afraid of that because you promise in Philippians 1:6 that he who began this good work will be faithful to complete it. Lord, you promise that you are the author, you're the maker, and you're the finisher of not only our salvation, but of the entire universe. God, we can trust you. We can trust you with our church. We can trust you with our young people. We can trust you with our school. We can trust you with UCA, with our community, with our conference, with our unions, with our general conference in our world. Because God, you are in control. It's all in your hands, and we love you. But God, right now I want to thank you for every last young person that you've let me be with this week. God, I haven't been saying my words. I haven't been doing my actions, but I've just been following you and watching what you're doing. And like a little kid in a candy store, you're letting me be a part of it. God, it's been my dream my whole life to serve you. But what's more exciting is watching these young people make the decision to serve you too. Because I can't do this work alone. God, I've made the decision to stay with this church. But I need these young people full of your Holy Spirit and fire to help me carry this torch and run this race until we stand on a sea of glass together and we all sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb who was slain." And we see your face. God, we've all gone through trials. We've lost loved ones. We've watched our government fail us, our economy fail, and yes, we even have broken hearts over things that are going on in our church. We keep fighting each other instead of looking to you and proclaiming your gospel to the world. But God, these young people get it. Spending the week here with them has renewed my faith. God, they called me here to be a blessing, but the real person who got blessed was me. God, make us a blessing. Let us learn to be brave for you. In your precious name, amen.